you? Good. Most of y'all are looking really good this morning. Yeah, it's good to be together. We are starting a new series today called Renewing Our Vision, or Renewing the Vision. And it's kind of built on the premise of this idea that every once in a while in life, we kind of need to be reminded of the reason or the purpose or the why behind it. And last week we had our remember our baptism, reaffirmation of our baptism. We were able to come down and touch the waters where many of our loved ones have passed through this font right here at this church. And today we're going to be diving in for the next several weeks a little bit more specifically into some of those baptismal vows, but then how we live them out and why we live those each and every day. And I'm just going to give you a little example. We are trying to plan a summer vacation. Do y'all ever plan summer vacations? Or y'all just like wander around aimlessly the third week of June? Right? All right. What's some of your favorite vacation things to do in the summer? Come on, throw them out. This is going to be interactive. You can do it. Go to the beach. The mountains. Disney. Who said Disney? Don't encourage my wife. The Nashville Chorus. National parks, sorry, very different things. I'm going to work on that. Putt-putt. Really? Yeah, okay. All right, putt-putt. Sure.
Camping and hiking.
Motorcycle riding. All right. So like, yeah, that's good. 17 of you go on vacation. That's awesome. That's good. Yeah, there's all kinds of things that you can do. And we were getting ready and We have a family member or some family members, and every year they plan the exact same vacation. It's something we can bank on. It's always to the same place, and it's always the same week of the year, right? And so we're like, man, you know what's actually really good about that is we can bank on it. We know that it's happening. We can do this. So we reserved a place. We went ahead and reserved a place so that we could stay at the beach when they would be there and da-da-da-da-da. And then they called us up the day after we signed the contract and said, we're not going to that place and we're not going that week. Right? And so now we don't talk to them anymore. I'm just teasing. But also, we've had to look and say, what are we going to do? And so we're starting with this blank slate. And what a great problem to have. But we began asking ourselves, why do we want a summer vacation? What do we want to do on a summer vacation? What does it look like? Because people throw out ideas like, hey, you could go to Disney World. And Disney World's great, but Florida in the middle of July on black asphalt is not my thing, right? Right? Is that a trip or is that a vacation? Those are very different things, right? We said we go to Washington, D.C., and we could walk around and see all of the sites and monuments and all of that stuff. And I was like, that sounds like a great trip for you guys to go on, right? Yeah. But they were like, no, we want to go on vacation. We want it to be relaxing. We want to be our family. We want to have these memories. We want to, you know, whatever it is. And you may have those own things. But the point of it is when we began to stop kind of the rat race and the scramble, and we began to look at why we were doing something, it began to change how we were doing it, when we would do it, where we would do it, all of those sorts of things. And that's all fine and good when it comes to vacations or whatever it may be in your life. But when it comes to faith, the same thing is true. We get so wrapped up in life. We get so wrapped up in the day-to-day and here comes Monday, here comes Tuesday, here comes Wednesday, and before we're doing it, we're just trying to survive the weekend, and then we just start it all over again. I know from a perspective of somebody who has small kids, it just feels like every day we survive the day and then we high-five each other and go to sleep, right? And then we survive the day and we high-five each other and we go to sleep, and then we're like, did the kids have to go to school tomorrow? We're like, no, it's Saturday. Oh man, what do we do with them? Right? Like, what do we do all day? Oh, don't worry, they have 8 a.m. basketball game, so that's fine. There's already planned what we're going to do with them, right? And so, but this is what it's like. But in faith, sometimes we need to remind ourselves. So we're kicking off this year with an opportunity of kind of reminding ourselves where we come from and why we're doing, in hopes that we kind of refocus and recenter our life around this core objective of being who God created us to be. It's not a core objective of following the rules of the church. It's not a core objective of checking off all the boxes. It's not a core objective of being exactly who the parents or the grandparents or whomever it was told us we have to be. It's a core objective of being who we believe God created us to be. And what does that look like? And each one of us walks that road by ourselves. And sometimes we get so far down the road and haven't examined it that we find ourselves so far off from the path where we feel like our hearts might really be lying that sometimes it's a major change to recenter and go back. Sometimes we're just off by a little bit, but a little bit over a long time is a big difference. And so we want to take a chance periodically to kind of recenter and refocus. There's this great scripture in Proverbs 29. And you've probably heard it before. We're going to throw it up on the screen. And this is actually in the King James Version. We usually read from the CEB, your Common English Bible, but it's great in the King James this morning. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people get out of control." Oh, that was the wrong one. "Where there is no vision," that was the CEB, "the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." The CEB says, "Where there's no vision, the people get out of control. But whoever obeys instruction is happy." So here we say, where there is no vision, the people perish. Well, we don't want to be people that simply perish because we get going on something that just keeps us busy and we don't actually become the people that God created us to be. Because sometimes perishing doesn't mean the loss of life. Sometimes perishing is not living up to who God created us to be and what that potential looks like. And so I want to remind us of a few things as a church. And first, we're going to look at what we do. What is our mission of a church? What is at the core of everything we do? So whatever we're doing, whether we're having a potluck or whether we're having Sunday school, whether we're having worship or whether we're having a trunk or treat, what is the point of what we're doing? And the point is simple. We want to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Well, it's not exactly simple, but it's something you can remember, right? We want to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We want people to come to know the love of Jesus. We want people to come to know the love of a community of believers. Not so that they have the right answers or they follow some specific doctrine, but so that they get into a relationship with their Creator. They get into a relationship with a community of believers, and they are able to be the people God always created them to be. Now, the next thing we talk about is how do we do that? Well, it comes from two verses. First, we look at the greatest commandment. Let's go to the greatest commandment one. Do you mind throwing that one up there for me? Matthew 22, 36 through 40. "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And you've probably heard this before. And Jesus says, he replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind. And the second is like it." Let's go to the next slide. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. "You must love your neighbor as yourself," or as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these. So as a church, we believe in loving God, loving people, and making this world a better place. So if we were going to distill what it looks like to be a disciple, the disciple loves God, a disciple loves people, and a disciple makes this world a better place. Love God, love people, make this world a better place. Now, as people of God, we're going to walk through just some few steps. And we're going to do this over the next several weeks. So this morning, it's going to feel like I just threw out a bunch of words at you. But as we go through the next weeks, we're going to dive into each one of these a little bit more deeply using the greatest commandment. And also the last one of loving God, loving people, and making this world a better place. We also have the commission, right? The Great Commission. And then we're going to walk through the things that a disciple does. So what does a life of a disciple look like? Well, a disciple worships. Now, what does it mean to worship? We got a little definition on the screen, but I'm going to ask you, what does it mean to worship? What do you think it means to worship? All right, praise God. That's good. Adoration, fancy word. Yeah. To outwardly communicate. Okay, that's good. To outwardly communicate that love. I've told y'all before, but I remember singing Amazing Grace in a church when I was growing up and I was a little kid, and it said, "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, I've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun." Have y'all heard that? Y'all remember that one? And I remember thinking, these are not my people. I don't like singing that much, right? I don't think I can. So is worship only singing? What is worship? Praying. Okay, excellent. reading the Bible. There's all kinds of different ways. We're going to begin to look into that starting just next week. But we're going to be looking at what does it mean to worship? Because we worship here publicly together. And we believe that a disciple is committed to worshiping God weekly with a community of believers. Now, you can do that online when you're not here. You can listen to the podcast. You can do that when you are here. You can miss a week or two. It'll be fine. You're okay, right? You're already here. You can already check this one box and go throughout your week, and you're good to go. You can come back next year. We'll get to week two, right? But also, a disciple grows. You see, a disciple is not happy staying the things. I don't know if you've noticed this, but everything that God creates in the Bible, it grows. That's the way God created us. When God begins to talk about faith life, when God begins to talk about human beings and the community, he uses imagery of things that grow, vines, trees, whatever it is. It's things that grow and that change. They don't stay the same. As a matter of fact, when they do stagnate, they die. A disciple grows. A disciple is committed to studying God's word regularly with other believers. Now, sometimes you can do that here in Sunday school. You can do that in small group. You can join groups online. You can do that privately, but we also believe in doing it publicly. It works both ways. We do both of those. But a disciple is committed to growth. Now, this is where we begin to step on a few toes, because that means more than attending worship. That means more than leaning on vacation Bible school faith. That means more than having gone when you're a teenager, but you did your dues and you paid your time, and now you want to sleep in the mornings. Right? It means being actively committed to being in community with other believers and with growing and studying and learning together. Now, that also means not by yourself. Can God be with you on the golf course, gentlemen? Absolutely. Although I've seen a couple of you swing a golf club, and I don't think God's there. Right? I'm just kidding. I haven't seen any of you swing a golf club, so that's not about any of you. But that's not growth. Can you experience God and see God? Oh, man, in all kinds of things, in love and relationship and children, in the wilderness, in the beauty of the day, in the songbirds. Those are all beautiful things, but that's not worshiping with a community of believers. That's not growing and studying in your faith with other people who are doing the same. Iron sharpens iron. If you don't sharpen iron, what does it do? It rusts and it degrades and it falls apart. And it's even worse than useless because it gives you tetanus, right? We don't want you to be a tetanus giver. We want you to be sharp, to be useful, to be put to work. Man, doesn't that feel good? It feels terrible when you feel useless. It feels terrible when you feel put aside. But man, when you can be picked up and used, we might think it sounds negative to be used, but you know what I mean. To have a point, figuratively and literally. To have a purpose, to have a use, to make a difference, to move things along in a way that they should go. We worship and we grow. Disciples also give. Disciples give of their time, but they give of their resources. We return to God a portion that God has already returned to us. And this is something the church gets dinged for all the time. And I mean Big C Church around the world. The church is just after your money. And that's not the case. If you want to give your tithe somewhere else, we don't want that, but we would be happy for you to do that. You can take the Pepsi challenge. But people who are disciples give a regular percentage of their earnings, the things that God has already given them, to the mission of God. Right? Now, disciples also serve. They serve others both outside and inside the church. They are not just people who sit back and let other people do things. Disciples are people who use that study and that growth to make this world a better place. They're teaching in Sunday school. They're volunteering at urban ministries. They're building houses at Habitat. They're leading Good Neighbor. They're packing bags for fuel. They're packing boxes for Operation Christmas Child. Disciples are people who serve, who make a difference, who get their hands dirty, who take their hearts and make them vulnerable to people who they don't want to necessarily make them vulnerable to. Disciples are active, not passive. They serve others both inside and outside the church. And lastly, and not leastly, disciples share. We worship, we grow, we give, we serve, and we share. We share the invitational love of Christ with those who are far from God. Now, of all of these, that one's the scariest, isn't it? You're like, oh, I can go to worship. They got it at a time where I can still beat the Baptist, the Shoney's. That's not too bad, right? Well, I can grow. I mean, I guess I could go to a class. I could go to the women's study or the men's study, or I could join a group or whatever it is. I could probably do that. Well, I could give. Maybe I could give. I could set that up. We could figure out what that looks like. I could put a little money in the plate. I could serve. I could volunteer. Maybe once or twice a year, Vacation Bible School comes around or whatever it is. But oh no, they make you get a background check. I can't do that. But then we say to share. What does it look like to share the invitational love of Christ? Let me give you just a little bit of a summary right now, and then we're going to have a whole Sunday devoted to what that looks like. You see, when we look at the life of Jesus, the way that Jesus shares is he goes to the place where there are people who are hurting and in need. He goes to the places where there are people who are hurting and in need. And he loves them, and he says, come and follow me. He doesn't say, go without me. He doesn't say, you got to meet our pastor. He doesn't say, you just give money. He says, come with me. We will go together. When he calls the disciples, he says, come and follow me. Come with me. And they live together. They eat together. They share everything that they have together in community. They live life together. Sharing the invitational love of Jesus Christ with those who are far from God means that disciples put themselves in places where those who are hurting and are in need are. Now, most of the time, we spend our lives trying to avoid those places. We spend our lives crossing the street from those places. We spend our lives earning income so that we never end up in one of those places. But disciples live a life with a little bit of risk. Disciples live a life with a little bit of vulnerability. Disciples live a life that says someone else may be greater than myself, that God might have a plan that's bigger than me and what I want, that God has a plan that God is calling me to that may take all of who I am. We share the invitational love of Christ with those who are far from God. Now, many of us have spent our whole life being disciples of Jesus, and we've had our ups and downs. Some of you may be new to what it looks like to have a life being disciples of Jesus. Some of you just came to church because mommy or daddy or granddaddy or whoever it was said you had to, right? And we're going to begin to take on what it looks like for ourselves to be a disciple of Christ. But as we get ready to do that and to look anew, we're going to be telling stories of our faith. We're going to be sharing tips and tricks. Makes it sound cheap, but what I mean is we're going to be sharing the ways that we can be actively engaged in worship, in growing, in giving, in serving, and in sharing. Because we want to be disciples of Jesus Christ so that we can transform this world into the way God always designed it to be. That kingdom of heaven we want to be in one day, it is our task to make this world look as much like that as we possibly can right now. Not one day, not someday, but today. As a matter of fact, it was supposed to be done yesterday. And now we're behind the eight ball. And we got some makeup work to do. But that's what it looks like to be, both as a church, big C, little c, both as individuals in a family, as a community around the world. We are called to love God, to love people, and to make this world a better place. And I believe that that is who we are. I believe that that's who you are and who this church is and who it's been since its inception and who you will go on to be. But we're going to spend a little bit of time refocusing, renewing that vision, re-understanding the call that God has on our lives and who God created us to be. And my friends, I believe that when we love God and that when we love people, that we will get to be a part of making this world a better place. And we will get to know what it means to be useful, to have a purpose and a mission, and to be a part of what God is already doing in this world. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you don't leave us alone. Thank you that you call us to something more than ourselves. Lord, we ask that you would continue to renew us, this community, this church, this world, that you would continue to pour your Spirit out, that we would be the people that you had created us to be. Lord, lead us into the places and ways that we can worship you. Lord, don't let us stagnate. Let us continue to grow through study and with each other. Lord, help us to be a people of generosity. Help us to be a people who serve others, whether it's inside or outside of the church. Help us to be a people who, like you, share your love through relationship and through a lifetime together. Lord, give us your wisdom and your peace and your power. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.